Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We wanted to talk about the fact that the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation is a stepping back. What happens now? Who's responsible? How does this work in terms of humanitarian assistance in Gaza? And Hertzberg is the legal advisor of NGO Monitor. She's an expert in lawfare. And a very good morning. Thank you for joining us. Hope you well. On the ground, what is the position now?
Good morning, Howard. It's great to be with you. So basically, a lot has changed in the past 6 weeks. We had the ceasefire and Trump with his 20-point plan, which was adopted by the Security Council last week. And a few weeks ago, the United States, in coordination with Israel and several other countries, set up what is known as the Civilian Military Coordination Committee, which meets in Israel, but they essentially are planning Gaza reconstruction, and they are also involved in the humanitarian aid provision now. So they are the ones that are working with the UN and NGOs in order to increase the aid, which has drastically increased in the past couple of weeks. And so really there wasn't a need anymore for the foundation.
So in terms of the aid going in, does this mean that people are pretty much on their own, or Hamas is taking over a lot of this? What is likely happening?
Well, I think that's really what's unknown. So right now we have to realize there's something called the Yellow Line, which demarcates areas that are under Israeli control, and then the other side is areas that are still, I guess, believed to be under Hamas control.
Mm-hmm.
So the aid is going into that area, but I think the issue, yes, exactly as you're pointing out, I do think there's a problem with aid diversion, because prior to that aid going into those areas, almost 100%, if not 100% of the trucks were being stolen or looted by Hamas and other armed actors. So it's still unknown, although we have not been receiving reports. I mean, not that I don't believe they were particularly accurate beforehand, but we have not been receiving reports, you know, that there's an aid shortage and, you know, the whole famine narrative that was going around.
Yeah, that seems to have fallen away completely. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is because it just shows that it was a political narrative. I think it was something concocted by the UN and its NGO allies in coordination, probably with Hamas, unfortunately. And, you know, for a lot of things, I think it was to put political pressure for a ceasefire where Israel would have to concede many things. Mm-hmm. They wanted an immediate ceasefire, and luckily they held out. So they accomplished many of their goals, but the UN and NGOs did not want that. And so I think that's what it was. It was about putting intense pressure. It was a way to concoct charges at the ICC. You know, that was a big thing, and to support weapons embargoes on Israel. So it was basically a false narrative to go after Israel precisely for lawfare in order to hamper Israel's military effort. And the reason we're not seeing it anymore is because they know it's not going to work anymore. Essentially.
Right. So what is the latest with regard to the to these cases?
So there are still a couple countries that have an arms embargo on Israel, although most of the cases have either been dismissed. Well, pretty much all. I think there's a couple still pending in a few countries. But for the most part, they've all been dismissed. Some countries like Germany have lifted any restrictions that it did have. I expect other countries will soon follow. And then the ICC, right now there's an appeal pending by Israel on the issue of jurisdiction and the arrest warrants, because right now the court says the jurisdiction is an open issue, that the lower court needs to look at it, but they didn't get rid of the arrest warrant. So it's kind of astounding. How does a court have jurisdiction to have people under, you know, under indictment, and yet they're not even sure they have jurisdiction?
It's bizarre.
Right. This is international justice in quotes, you know.
It's in terms of UNRWA, Israel is taking a very hard line on UNRWA. Is UNRWA effectively, given Israel's stance and given the stance of the United States, is UNRWA effectively a thing of the past? I know obviously no decision's been made within the United Nations, who have been particularly weak in handling these allegations. But what is likely to be the future?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, UNRWA is a non-starter for the Israelis and for the Americans. Now, of course, the Europeans, you know, because again, UNRWA serves a political function to, you know, never, for the Palestinians, it serves the political function of indoctrinating the kids into this return fantasy that they're going to come one day and do what they did on October 7th and then, but succeed. So that's what UNRWA inculcates in children. And unfortunately, a lot of Europeans are wedded to that. And they, you know, they push this BS line that UNRWA is indispensable.
Yeah.
But as we're seeing, that's not the case. Yeah. Yes, it is to Hamas, and that's precisely it. So who are the people who really want UNRWA there? Hamas. And I think that says it all. So at the moment, UNRWA is not really part of the process. I guess we will see, though, the UN again is, because the UN wants to have influence in the process. Right now, they're sort of marginalized, even though they're involved. They're not leading the show at all. So I think, you know, they're probably going to keep pushing for a role from under UNRWA. Now, whether or not the UN disbands them in the near future, that's probably not going to happen, because that would require a vote at least the General Assembly level to get rid of them. So they will probably still exist, but whether or not they're going to have a major role, I think for now the answer is no.
That is where we leave it. Anne Herzberg, thank you as always.